Well, thank you all for the warm welcome, and it's really good to see you all. We bring greetings from across the river at Eastvale, although we live here on College Hill. It's good to be among you all. And it's kind of neat. When we left for Germany, this was not its own congregation, and now you are, which is pretty cool. So thank you for welcoming us back. Thank you for your interest in the ministry. Thank you for the support that many of you have given, your prayers, and tonight for this invitation. At the end of 2017, in response to God's call on our lives, we moved to a particular neighborhood of Frankfurt, Germany, to serve a three-year term with a church planting team that was formed to reach particularly immigrants and refugees. We had many amazing opportunities to share Christ with people who have been entirely unreached by the gospel of Jesus, yet are living in a country of many who might broadly identify as Christian, but live very privately.
They were taking me to jail every week, my friend laughed as she leaned in intently. The police didn't want me talking about Jesus, so they would find me, take me to jail, and as soon as I was out again, I would just be telling people about Jesus. This friend of mine miraculously came to faith in Christ. Miraculously came to faith in Christ while in her closed home country. She deeply understands both the rigidity of Islam that she formerly lived under and the freedom that's offered in Christ that she claims now.
So it's been our great privilege to be sent by the church in America. As we were able to walk alongside young believers and seekers as they grew in grace and freedom of learning to follow Jesus. Through the official work of the church plant, as well as being active in our neighborhood in other ways, we were in contact with people from nearly 30 different countries, representing many worldviews, cultural values, and religious backgrounds. In getting to know these neighbors and friends, we've grown to appreciate the stark contrast between the gods that humanity has formed and the living God that we worship, who took on human form.
I read an article where another Muslim background believer describes this difference perfectly. He writes, "When Islam choked me with do, 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 Jesus said, 'It's already done,' and captured my heart." We did have Muslim friends in Germany who we witnessed living under the rigorous rules of their religion, hoping that God might find favor with God. Sorry. Am I okay? I'm not good with technology. I can back up. Oh, thanks, Carly. Okay. So we had friends, though, who were Muslim in Germany, who lived under this rigorous religion, and they were hoping always to possibly find favor with God or forgiveness even. It was such a joy to explain God's love for them, that Jesus came as God and man, entering into our sufferings as a human person, taking on the humiliation in the love that became freedom, as his death became our reconciliation, and his resurrection our assurance. Though my friend was no longer living under the daily threats of life in an Islamic country, I sat with her through a time of great fear and uncertainty in Germany as well. In this time, I reminded her of Psalm 56:3, which reads, "When I am afraid, I will trust in you, in God whose word I praise. In God I trust, I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?" Of course, we know that people can cause one another great harm. But that day, my friend kept saying, "God is with me. God is with me. Our God lives and he is with us." What a reason to rejoice.
So we've been convicted ourselves about how often we fall into the trap of turning our faith into a list of do's and don'ts, And we've been challenged to lean more fully into God's grace in Christ. In a moment, we'll explain more about what was accomplished through the ministry. But for now, if you hear nothing else tonight, hear this. All that you deeply need and long for has been fully accomplished by God's great love for you in Jesus Christ. It was the excitement of sharing this good news that took us to Germany in the first place. All of Europe has experienced a huge influx of refugees from the Middle East in the past 6+ years, with many people coming into Europe hoping to get to Germany because of the economic opportunities there. And this has presented a unique opportunity for the gospel as people come from closed countries. But they're bringing with them an openness to hear about Jesus and often a curiosity to learn quite a lot more.
We initially partnered with a Reformed pastor from the Netherlands and his family to help plant a new church in the Feckenheim neighborhood of Frankfurt. This is a city where, well, in the neighborhood, a lot of immigrants and refugees already live. But the city itself of Frankfurt is actually, there are more non-German residents than German residents. And parts of our neighborhood had a distinctly Turkish feel itself. In the first few months, our team grew with the addition of 2 older couples, as well as the birth of our son, Elias.
There he is, causing a ruckus up here. So getting settled took quite a lot of energy. We had to get visas, we had to register for school, we had to find a car, we had to find playgrounds, which are very important with children. All sorts of other things that took, just a lot of energy and time. I also had to take German classes since I did not yet speak German. But right away, we found that what we had heard was true, that God is at work in the hearts of immigrants and refugees in Germany. Once, I was leaving a German class, and one of the classmates that I had, who was a Muslim man, actually chased after me on the street as I was walking away from the school building. And he shouted my name, and so I stopped and turned around, and we sat down together, and we opened the Bible. He wanted to know what Jesus had to say, who he claimed to be from Scripture. So we did. It was wild. Like, afterwards, Teresa and I were just thinking, like, this is shocking. We can't imagine this happening in any other context.
On our own, as well as with our team, we tried to take every reasonable opportunity to share our faith, especially as people were like us, coming from other countries and having an openness to having religious conversations. Germans, in general, tend to keep matters of faith to themselves. So there can be a significant cultural clash that we were able to help bridge. Even so, sometimes our German neighbor would come over to drink tea and ask questions about the Bible. This is a woman who was a secular humanist, and she even played around sometimes with demonic activity. But we had conversations with her as she was open, which grew into an evangelistic Bible study during which a different German woman made a profession of faith.
So among the other outreaches that our team was involved in, every year we partnered with an evangelistic street performance group that was based out of Turkey. And that group shared the gospel across language barriers and really made connections in the community. And as a team, we also did things like doing a Good Friday activity walk through a favorite local park in which we explained Jesus' death and resurrection. And we also ran a week-long English camp for students in the area.
We also tried to serve the practical needs of the community by offering free weekly German classes that were not taught by us. They were taught by a German pastor friend in our basement.
I participated to help learn.
And we also opened a second-hand shop in our garage. It was so cool to meet people on the street as they would be passing by doing their shopping, poking their heads in to ask what we were doing and why. And it was a great opportunity to share about Christ in very natural ways. Multiple times, as people would share their struggles, I would offer to pray for them then in the name of Jesus. And so I would be praying for people in my neighborhood, on the street, in the name of Jesus. And among Germans, we really gained credibility as a church planting project because we were doing a good work, a community service.
Yeah. So our most important weekly outreach, though, was hosting a Sunday gathering for worship and fellowship in that same favorite local park that we had hosted some other outreaches in. And in that time, we intentionally removed barriers to attendance for unchurched and especially Muslim background people. So each week we'd have a potluck meal, and then that was followed by a simple worship service. We would sing in multiple languages. We'd try to, depending on who was there, we would try to sing songs that were in their heart language. Then we'd pray together. We'd read the Bible also in multiple languages. And we'd hear a lesson focused on the gospel. After that, we'd enjoy a time of games and fellowship. And this time was really awesome. Many different people came, and they heard of the reconciliation offered by God through faith in Jesus, both practicing Muslim friends and strangers who'd stop in just because they were already in the park.
One of my friends in particular would have had a lot of trouble at that time entering a physical church building, but she came regularly to these times of church services in the park. And she engaged a lot, often asking questions and digging into the scripture that we covered long after the time was over.
So in the winter time then, we moved these services into our living room. Our team also offered a discipleship course during the week for those who are ready to dig deeper into applying God's word in their lives. And through these things, our first winter inside, one formerly Muslim man, who we'll call S, he was ready for baptism. And also one of the children of the church plant made a profession of faith, and we rejoiced in those things together. We also celebrated the Lord's Supper together, and we're just blessed to grow together in the grace of Jesus in our little church plant.
God gave so much great fruit through all of these things. We were really astounded, especially as our friendships deepened and we'd have even more spiritual conversations. But we were exhausted as we were hosting nearly everything for the church plant out of our home and involved in evangelism in life outside of the official church plant as well. At that point, we also had two Iranian men living with us. One was our best friend, Davod, who was working and in the final steps of his asylum-seeking process. But he wanted to be out of refugee housing, so we opened up a spare room in our basement for him. And a second was the older man, S, who had just been baptized a few months before that Nick just introduced. He needs to stop, sorry. We're being very realistic. In Germany, this is kind of how it was with our family. we were living alongside and with other people, and they had their children and families, and it actually made people more comfortable. So we're still adjusting to U.S. life. he had been baptized, but then soon after he lost his, unrelated to faith, he lost his job and then his housing. So we opened up the classroom space that had been in our basement for him to stay. During that time, the verse that was resounding in my head so much was 1 Corinthians 4:7, which says, "What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not?"
So in the first couple of weeks of him being with us, he... This is very distracting for us. Wow. we are running a circus at the same time. So in the first couple of weeks of him being with us, he actually mentioned kind of offhand that his brother would be visiting from Iran. His brother worked as a truck driver at the time. You can drive from Iran to Germany, oddly enough. It seems real far away from here. Anyway, S asked me, would it be all right if my brother stayed for a couple of days? We can hang out. We can visit with each other. And as Teresa mentioned, we were pretty exhausted, but we were also heading out of town for a conference, and it overlapped with the date, so I was like, well, I don't even know that we're going to be here at the same time. So I said, sure, why not?
So Nick didn't actually tell me that he had agreed to host C. We were packing up our car, getting the last things together ready for this trip, and S walked in with his brother C, and I'm shaking hands, I'm scrambling for a sleeping bag.
Receiving a nice gift
that he brought with him from Iran. And we kind of figured we'd never see him again. I got to the car, though, and I was like, Nick, did you know that he'd be staying? And he did. We just hadn't even had the time to communicate.
Whoops.
So, as God would do, while he was in our house, heard the gospel of Jesus and received it as his own. And he was baptized in the last church service we had before lockdown.
So he was only supposed to be there for a couple of days, as we said, but it ended up being about 2 months. And that made it our house even more full, with a total of now 3 Iranian men staying with us. Of course, he was at first only delayed due to some paperwork problems on his truck cargo. But then the borders all closed from COVID. So nobody was going anywhere for quite a while. It was an evolving story. Each day we'd learn new things.
Yeah. He would sit in our basement, though, and devour huge portions of the Bible in his own language. In a really short amount of time, he went through all of the Gospels, and he tried to read the entire book of Psalms in 2 days, but it took him 3, to his disappointment. And whenever Nick would answer his questions, C would eagerly repeat, yes, I believe this. Sometimes even interrupting, yes, I believe this.
It was really cool. And through our conversations, he even got an introduction to systematic theology, which really just jived with his kind of scientific mind. He also did some computer programming on the side. He developed web apps and phone apps, excuse me. And he kept talking. He was like, I want to develop a computer program that could search the Bible about different topics. So like I could search about God, or I could search about work or whatever. And he kept asking these things. He kept talking about it. I was like, he was asking a question one day. And I was like, I think the Westminster Confession of Faith would really help us here. So I went upstairs and grabbed it, brought it back, and opened it up to the right section. And he was like, oh, whoa, somebody already did this. Like, they made a topical study. Yeah.
He was like, yes, this is it. My idea. It's right here. Yeah. We really marvel at how God used this time. Throughout the initial 2 months of COVID lockdowns in Germany, every Sunday, everyone in our household would gather together and eat, and we swapped off having Persian food 1 week and whatever kinds of food we cooked the next week, alternating. And we'd have simple Bible studies in what was a hilarious mix of German, Persian, and English. The guy who had come from Iran only spoke English and Persian. The guys who were in Germany, we spoke German with, but they spoke Persian as well. So it was necessary, and it was complicated, and it was wonderful. This was pretty much all we could manage at that time, apart from taking care of our own family, because of the exhaustion and burnout. But it was exactly what these men needed.
So even with this pretty incredible fruit of God's work in people's lives, under the surface of our team were deep divisions. Including even one particular teammate who was potentially abusive in his treatment of others, including us and some of the people we were ministering to. So at the exact same time as C was staying with us and coming to faith, all those things came to a head, resulting in one couple being removed from the mission field, the other couple resigning, and within a few months, our pastor and his wife gave up too. And at that time, God really did not release us. We had this sense of we have to stay and we're not done here yet. And so we had the privilege, the burden of shepherding this young group of believers and seekers through the complex dynamics of changing church plant and at the same time all sorts of changes with COVID restrictions.
It was through this time especially that we really thank God for the ways that he sustained us with his grace through your prayers on our behalf. We are so thankful for the support that we had, that even in the times that we felt alone there, we knew that we were not, and God held us up. For the first few months, we were navigating things largely on our own, with input from our organization and from our pastor at Eastvale, Micah Ramsey, and then eventually an established church plant in another part of the city that we already had a relationship with was able to step in and take responsibility for determining a path forward for the church plant. One particular German pastor from that church became a dear friend as he cared for us during that time.
So I ended up teaching the group in German during our Sunday gatherings then each week for about 10 months. And that was starting from the time our pastor announced he'd be leaving. And we continued discipling relationships through the week, also assisting our refugee friends in their asylum processes, including attending court hearings with them for over a year.
At the beginning of this year, this calendar year, the one we're finishing, it became clear that there would be no other church planter to join in and take over the work of the church plant. So we began at that point the very slow and intentional process of working with our German pastor to help integrate the people from our church plant into their existing congregation.
It was really important to ease into this transition since our refugee friends had already been through so much change and uncertainty in their lives. And we praise God that it really went well. In September, we even heard, this was just a few weeks after we had returned to the U.S., we heard from one of the Persian men who we had discipled. And he was excited to tell us that he and a few of the others had officially become members in the church in Frankfurt.
Thinking over these past few years, we feel incredibly confirmed in God's leading of us throughout this whole time. We did find it to be true that God is using upheaval in people's lives to bring an openness to the gospel of Jesus Christ, bringing hope and freedom and light to those who've been in darkness. We also are amazed by God's presence with us, even in the challenges and the unexpected difficulties. It was our great privilege and an honor to have served in this way. We really look forward to seeing how God weaves lessons from this time into our future service in the kingdom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, before we get to the end here and take some questions, I wanted to share what I found to be a really helpful encapsulation of the gospel, one that I've been meditating on a lot lately. And it's this. In Christ, there's nothing I can do to make God love me more. And nothing I have done makes him love me less. Or to say it a different way, Christ's righteousness is fully acceptable to the Father. Therefore, as I am in Christ, I am fully acceptable to the Father. Amen?
Amen.
Without that experience of grace, of unmerited favor at our core, everything else in our lives will be distorted. Let's be encouraged to grow in understanding, in believing, and even feeling the good news of the gospel. Because as we experience grace, we experience joy, we experience freedom, we experience so much. And this gospel is our basis for fellowship with all who call on the name of Christ. By God's grace, Christ's church is much broader and more varied than we like to think. God is raising up disciples from all nations to call on his name in worship, trusting in Jesus alone for salvation. So, in closing, we'd like to teach you all Psalm 117b in German. We translated this to use in the church plant in Fechenheim in Frankfurt. And we really felt like this was such a beautiful missionary song because it speaks of all the nations and tribes and peoples of the earth praising God, because God's love is great toward all the peoples. He's drawing them to salvation. So I'm going to just read through. We'll sing it first in English, and that should be fairly familiar. And then we'll sing it maybe twice through in German. It's very short. But I'll read through the German before we get started. And it says the same thing, but I'll just read through it. So, Lob den Herrn. This is on your paper if you have it. Lob den Herrn, all ihr Völker. Preist ihn, all ihr Menschen. Seine Liebe zu uns ist stark und seine Treue hört niemals auf. Halleluja, lob den Herrn. So praise the Lord, all you peoples. Praise him, all you people. your love,
his love,
or his love, excuse me, yes, his love to us is great. And his faithfulness never runs out, never stops. And then hallelujah, praise the Lord. So let's sing. We're going to have a pitch, and then we'll just try singing. So.
Praise the Lord, all you nations, extol him, all you peoples, for great is his love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Lob den Herrn, all the Preist ihn, all ihr Menschen, seine Liebe zu uns ist stark und seine Treue hört niemals auf. Halleluja, lob den Herrn.
Once more.
Lob den Herrn, all ihr Völker, preist ihn, all ihr Menschen, seine Liebe zu uns ist stark und seine Treue hört niemals auf. Halleluja, lob den Herrn.
Great job, everybody.
I don't think we've ever sung it with parts before. That was amazing.
Pretty cool. Yeah, now you get to feel a little bit of what life was like in singing in different languages. Sometimes we also sang in Farsi or Arabic or other things.
And of course, German.
And in German.
Which you just did.
Yes. But yeah, that was pretty cool. So good job.
So I think we have only just a few minutes for questions. So if you have any pressing questions that you are thinking of, we would be happy to hear them. And we can also hang out a little bit longer afterwards if you want to come up to us then.
We're also running around with microphones now. Okay, question up here.
Thanks.
In the front.
German, native Germans' kind of attitude or response to you being there?
For the most part, I guess my answer would be that they thought it was fine as long as we weren't pressuring people. They thought it was kind of fine for people to be caring about immigrants and refugees.
Yeah.
Do you want to expand on that?
Yeah. As we said, they do keep faith really private. And so as long as we weren't being pushy, they were glad. Almost this overwhelm of like, well, we can't handle this, so glad you're doing something. Just really glad that there's like, oh yeah, there's somebody should be doing this. Like, it might as well be the Americans, us. Like.
Yeah, one of our neighbors, we lived in a row house for the last 2 years, and one of our neighbors was an older lady, and she she'd hear us singing sometimes because the door would be open or something, and she told us she really liked it. So that seemed like a good thing. They weren't songs she was familiar with, she said, but she liked it anyway. Yeah. Over here? Two over here.
I just wanted to let you know, Elvis Presley met his wife, Priscilla Presley, in Germany.
Very good.
I just had a question about your work with the plant. So after the other planters and the pastor went home, was that kind of like, was your plan to stay about this amount of time, or you didn't have a predetermined time, but that kind of quickened your departure?
Yeah, we had planned to stay about this amount of time. We had committed to 3 years. We ended up being there for about 3.5 years. And our intention, it was the beginning of the church planting work in this neighborhood. Our intention was to join the church planter to sort of provide extra manpower to get things going. And our hope had been that they would continue that. And we were open to staying longer if the Lord really confirmed that to us. But the Lord never really confirmed that to us. So we never changed from that plan of staying for 3 years or so.
Although, honestly, when he decided to leave and we're trying to think of, okay, is there somebody else that can come and take on this work? We couldn't carry it ourselves. We carried it ourselves as long as we could. We were trying to think, like, oh, is there another way we can be still supporting and shepherding these people that we love and walking with them through this? And all of the opportunities just felt a little bit like it's something we would be forcing. And it wasn't God opening the door and being like, this is you. This is what you do. And so, yeah, we stuck to our original plan in the end of finishing out the school year with our kids and then having that transition into which was not the plan, but was still a good outcome, to be honest.
Yeah, and we're really thankful to the Lord for the way he orchestrated things. And including in the timing with the church that we ended up moving into at the end, they weren't ready for us the year prior. But by the time the transition came, that church had gone through some transitions and things that they were ready at that point. And it was really God's timing. And so we think that's a good situation for the core group of the work we were involved in to now be there. Two microphones.
What motivated you to do Germany? I mean, and then the second question.
Sorry, I didn't hear the first question.
For Germany being your goal.
Okay.
And the second question I have, did you find any Americans there that you could fellowship with at all?
Do you want to talk about Germany? Why Germany?
Yeah, so in 2015 in particular, there were huge numbers of refugees fleeing the Middle East and Northern African countries, aiming for Europe, but particularly aiming for Germany because of the economic situation there. That's sort of like, if they can't get to the U.S., they aim for Germany. And both. It was so funny. We would always get the question, like, well, which is better? Like, oh, you guys are Americans and you're in Germany. Which is better? We think
said
they're both good.
Had good and bad attributes.
Yes. But yeah, so knowing that people were heading to Germany and some stories that we had heard, I have family in Germany that live about an hour and a half south of where we were, that it connected with us and made sense. And the second question.
Yeah, so we did actually find, there are some Americans living in Frankfurt, including a few others who were working as missionaries. So we had some fellowship with them. And there's also several PCA churches, which are English-speaking and primarily ministering to the military community around some of the bigger bases in Germany. And one of those in particular really cared for us and invited us a few times and supported us. They did a youth mission weekend, work weekend with us to help get the secondhand shop up and running. And that was really neat to have that fellowship and support. They were about an hour and a half away from where we were too. So. I see our timekeeper is standing in the wings, so any last questions, real short
ones? No.
Just kidding. We'll be done. Yeah.
Thank you so much for having us.